Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q3 FY21 earnings conference call of Bharat Petroleum Corporation Limited, hosted by IIFL Securities Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Harshvardhan Dole from IIFL Securities Limited. Thank you, and over to you.
Thank you, moderator. Good morning and greetings. On behalf of IIFL Securities, I welcome you all for the third quarter earnings call of BPCL. To help us understand the quarter gone by and share performance outlook for the subsequent quarter, we have the senior management team of BPCL, represented by Mr. Vijay Gopal, Director of Finance, Mrs. Teresa Naidu, ED Corporate Treasury, Mr. V.R.K. Gupta, CGM Corporate Finance, Ms. Jenny, CFM Pricing and Insurance, Girwar Bhattad, Senior Manager Pricing and Insurance, and Piyush Borania, Senior Manager Pricing and Insurance. I first hand over the line to Piyush, who will make the opening remarks, and hand the call to Director of Finance, who will share his perspective, after which the session will be open for Q&A. Over to you, Piyush.
Thanks, Harsh. On behalf of the BPCL team, I welcome you one and all to this post-Q3 result con call. Before we begin, I would like to mention that some of the statements that we would make during this con call may be forward-looking in nature, and we believe that the expectations contained in such statements are reasonable. However, their nature involves a number of risks and uncertainties that may lead to different results. These forward-looking statements represent only the current expectations and beliefs, and we do not provide any assurance that such expectations will prove correct. Since this is a quarterly result review, please restrict your questions to Q3 results only. I now request our Director of Finance, Mr. N. Vijay Gopal, who is leading the BPCL team for this call, to make his opening remarks. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Yes. Thank you. Good morning, everyone. Welcome once again to the Q3 post-results con call. You would have got the handout giving the quarter results. I would like to touch upon a few points on the quarter gone by. The easing of COVID restrictions, rollout of vaccination, and festival season has helped us to boost demand towards the end of the last calendar year. The agriculture sector is now on a growth trajectory after a good monsoon. Credit growth has turned positive in real terms for the first time in this fiscal year. Power demand is up by 14%, and all major states had improved GST collection in December as compared to last year. BPCL has recorded 24% growth in domestic sales volume from 8.94 million metric tons in Q2 to 11.10 million metric tons in Q3 of the current financial year. MS has grown up by 15%, HSD by over 31%, and LPG by 9% in Q3 over the Q2 of the current fiscal year. Apart from the urban centers and major towns where we are traditionally strong, we have started registering better growth from rural and small town areas due to the aggressive retail outlet expansion during the year. We registered a growth in market share in MS and HSD of 0.62 and 1.05% in Q3, as against 0.12 and 0.33% in Q2 of the current fiscal year. In highway market during Q3, we secured highest growth among PSUs in view of the faster recovery of volumes due to transport movements and acquiring high-volume customers through continuous engagement. I am happy to tell you that we recorded the best performance for HSD and MS in market sales among PSUs in Q3 of 2021. Particularly in MS, we grew by 6.76% and HSD by 2% for Q3 as compared to the Q3 of the previous year. However, public transport is not back to normal levels yet. Schools and education institutions continue to remain shut in most parts of the country. Further, due to the steep decline in tourism, entertainment, etc., slow recovery in services sector still remains a concern in aid of demand for transportation fuels. As scheduled international flights are yet to commence and with various restrictions still in place around the world, our ATF sales is at around 54% less as compared to Q3 sales of the previous year. However, there is a 34% increase in the Q3 as compared to Q2 of the current fiscal year. With multiple virus strains still posing a threat and lockdowns continuing in various parts of the globe, the product tax remains subdued. MFS declined from an average of over $8.19 to a barrel in Q3 of the previous year to just about $2.97 to a barrel in Q3 of the current financial year. HSD tax declined from 15.41 to just over $4.34 to a barrel. When we compare Q3 to Q3 of the previous fiscal year, the Indian basket of food has declined from $63 to $45. The rupee has depreciated from rupees 71.23 to 73.34. BPCL GRM stood at $2.47 to a barrel in Q3 of the current fiscal year as compared to the $3.23 to a barrel in Q3 of the previous year. However, BPCL has the highest GRM amongst the OMC peers. Product tax has slightly improved further in the month of Jan 21 over the Q3 numbers. Our refinery throughput, which was around 76% during the quarter 2, has increased to 105% of the nameplate capacity in the Q3 of this year. The crude oil throughput for the third quarter is 7.24 million metric tons as compared to over 5.63 million metric tons during the Q2. Refinery throughput, which was moderated earlier due to low demand, has considerably improved. Our distillate yield has improved to 86% as compared to the third quarter of the previous year at 84%. Our EBITDA has improved by over 68% from Rs. 3,221 crores to Rs. 5,401 crores for the third quarter when compared to the year on year. Profit after tax has more than doubled from Rs. 1,261 crores for the quarter 3 of the previous fiscal year to Rs. 2,778 crores for the third quarter of the current year. Profit after tax for the 9 months has increased from Rs. 4,044 crores to Rs. 7,102 crores year on year. This is after taking into account expenditure on ESPS scheme amounting to Rs. 544 crores and cost of the VRS scheme amounting to Rs. 706 crores rupees. With the easing of lockdowns, we have revised our capex targets to Rs. 9,000 crores from the earlier target of 8,000 crores. We have already spent Rs. 5,688 crores during the 9-month period ended 31st December 2020. With just over 900 crores being spent in the first quarter, we are very, very confident of surpassing the target of 9,000 crores as we close the year. During the quarter passed by, we have added 730 retail outlets. During the current financial year, we have already added 1,692 new retail outlets. Last year, we had 1,447 new outlets. We hope to have 2,000 more outlets in this financial year overall. A new jetty, JD5, has been commissioned in Jan 2021 for receipt of crude oil by Mumbai Refinery. This will enable MR to receive fully loaded US Max vessels, leading to considerable savings in crude freight costs. Our borrowings as on 31st December 2020 was at 24,674 crores, which has further eased from Rs. 27,849 crores at close of Q2 and a peak level of about 41,800 crores at the end of March 2020. These are excluding the lease obligations amounting to about 6,228 crores rupees at the end of the third quarter of the current financial year. The debt-equity ratio as at the end of Q3 is 0.60 as compared to 0.63 when compared on year-on-year. The debt-equity ratio has thus come down substantially from the level of 1.26 at the end of the financial year 2020. As on 31st March 2020, we had around 6,200 crores rupees outstanding receivable from the Government of India on account of subsidies, which has been steadily coming down. As on date, the dues amount to about 2,200 crores rupees. There is no under-recovery on PDS and minimal subsidy on LPG. I now invite questions and for clarifications. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Vijay Sarda from Christusa Investment. Please go ahead.
Good morning, sir. Two questions. One is on how is the progress on divestment happening? We have got this interim dividend of 16 now, and we were expected news on Numaligarh refinery high off, or basically sell off to some company. So what is the progress there? And last, what is going to be status on the investment which is lying on our books? So will that be separated or carved out as a one vehicle, and the share will be distributed in the proportion? So this is the one question. Second, just wanted to understand, sir, we have declared interim dividend of 16 rupees. So have we declared date for the same interim dividend date? And secondly, sir, if the date is before, like, its expiry, I think many of our investors in the PMS, they do invest through these futures also. So if the due date is within this month, then they will get affected by this kind of dividend outflow or dividend investment. So if it can be kept after this expiry, that will be quite helpful for the investor who invests through the future routes.
Yeah, you are asking too many questions in one question. To answer your last question, the record date for interim dividend is 19th of February. I don't want to answer other connected questions because I don't understand that side. As far as the Numaligarh divestment is concerned, BPCL has a 61.65% stake in NRL, which will be divested to a consortium led by Oil India, in which Engineers India is also a member. And out of the 61.65%, 13.65% of the stake will be given to the government of Assam, who has a right of first refusal. And they have actually taken that right and told that they are prepared to take at the price at which the deal is closed with Oil India. So we are on the job, and we are very serious about it. The sale purchase agreement for this deal has been approved by the BPCL board yesterday. We have shared that with Oil India, and we are also doing the valuation exercise to our transaction advisor, which is Deloitte, and the legal advisor and asset valuer. We are very confident that barring unforeseen circumstances, if the government approvals are coming in time, we should be able to close this deal as we close the financial year. For the BPCL divestment, we are right, data room is ready for from our side. The vessel data room is ready. We are waiting for the transaction advisor and DBOM to advise us to whom this facility should be made available. Yeah.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Avdut Sabnis from InCred Capital. Please go ahead.
Sir, my first question relates to your ENT operations, and I'm afraid you'll have to accuse me of quite a bit of tough questions there as well. So in the last 6 months, you have impaired around 9 ENT blocks. Firstly, I want to know, whatever is impaired, I presume all those blocks will be relinquished. Secondly, the extent of impairment, which is around 16.8 billion, is broadly around half of the net worth as on March of BPRS. So would it imply any additional, has there been any additional equity infusion into BPRL at this point of time? And a related question on that is, if you could share what was the consolidated debt number including lease as on end of December. Then in terms of in actual accounting of the 16.8 billion, which heads is it going up? Because there's some part which is just said is exceptional. So if you could share out of the 16.8 billion, how has it accounted, which line item in the accounts? And lastly, in terms of is the cleanup over? I mean, I just specifically wanted to ask this on Bahu, which was discovered 8 years back is it still, let's say, standing in the books at book value?
Okay. Can I answer E&P questions first, and then we'll take that extra exceptional items. On the E&P side, if you see the world oil majors have all impaired substantial amounts. We take Chevron, Exxon, Shell, anyone have done that, and we have followed the best practices in our exploration subsidiary of BPRL. The major impairment has happened in an investment. We have an asset in Brazil, SEAL, where we don't have prospects and recoverable reserves, and they have taken a certain crude oil price assumptions, which required an impairment portion to be created. Nothing to worry about that. It is in BPRL books. It has not spread to BPCL, because overall BPC investment continues to remain intact at this stage. And this impairment will be probably reversed if the position improves later. We are taking a very conservative approach to creating the impairment following the best global practices. The other nine small blocks where we have impaired, Indian blocks mainly, are all very insignificant for BPRL. I do not know the exact details of write-off the impairment has been made, because these are nine small blocks. We can share the data with you subsequently.
On the effect of this impairment, some portion we have presented in exceptional item around 266 crore, because that is the impairment rooted through subsidiaries. And some other cases of impairment, it is rooted through equity accounted investees. There is a separate line, equity accounted investees, there is a negative value there. So that is where actually the presentation of entire 1500 crore has gone into financial reserve.
And last part of your question, our total debt as at December is 24,674 crores. This is excluding the lease liability, which is amounting to 6,228 crores.
Thank you so much. And is there been any additional equity infusion in BPRL in the first 9 months?
In this year, we have infused 650 crores equity into BPRL, and we are committed to invest in BPRL further, because as per the CCA approval for the Mozambique development, we have taken the permission from CCEA, the government of India, to increase the equity capital of BPRL from 5,000 crores to 15,000 crores. So we are committed to stand by BPRL during the period when they develop the Mozambique gas, which is a massive project.
Yeah, but this 650 is not related to Mozambique expansion, right?
Sorry? Yes, it is, because what is where they need money? They have a project where they need to spend about $2 billion. So they have a 70-30 equity ratio. The equity has to come from BPCL, right? So it is linked to Mozambique essentially. And as the Brazil development happens, we may need to go to CCA again, and there will be further equity infusion if required.
Great. So if I may squeeze two more separate questions. One is, given the extent of GRS that has taken place, could you give us some sense of what is the normal sort of staff cost that will be in standalone accounts in FY22? And second question is, any update on the petchem in Kochi refinery? I think you have said in the last call that it will be done by March 21. Is that date still up? Thank you.
Yeah. Actually, our strategy has been to reduce the manpower numbers. It is not only the VRS announcement of the year 2020 which has evoked a very good response. As an organization, we believe in optimizing the number of manpower. We have reduced steadily over the years. If you take the last 10 years, in spite of massive expansion of BPCL, the manpower numbers has come down considerably over the last 10 years. It is our policy to continue to do that. We are not recruiting people only for the purpose of providing employment. That is the first part. And if you say the employee expenditure for the year, it is about 869 crores for the quarter. And overall, last year, the total was about 3,000. Nine months, it is 3,344 crores rupees. And the whole year is 3,691 crores rupees. So manpower constitutes a significant part of our total operating expenditure, and therefore we are committed to continue to rationalize the manpower going forward. That is the first part of your question. And second was number of employees is today around 9,600. I don't have the number of HPCLs. Yeah. Then there was another question. Okay.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nafisa Gupta from B of A Securities. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Good morning, sir. So my first question is regarding the other income in the third quarter. Is it possible to give what split of the other income? Because it was substantially higher.
The other income has gone up substantially because of dividends from NRL, which amounts to around 612 crores.
All right. The second question is regarding the deal with BORL. Any updates on that and the timelines for it?
Yeah, as far as BORL, the Omani stake, we have been negotiating. We have reached a certain understanding with them already. And we are reached the stage where we can confidently say that a disclosure and regulatory filing is expected anytime soon, maybe in the next 10 days from today.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to address questions from all participants, request you to please limit your questions to two per participant. If you have a follow-up question, you may rejoin the queue. The next question is from the line of Anubhav Agarwal from Credit Suisse. Please go ahead.
Yes, good morning. My question is on other expenses. This quarter run rate of 3,900 crores, would you say this had some COVID-related benefit in terms of lesser extra travel, etc., no, this is the new base for us? Can you just explain, is this a new base or this had some savings?
No, actually, it is not COVID-related. The other expenditure mainly was higher because of two specific reasons. We are a VRS debit. And VRS was announced, and actually the entire amount was debited, which is about 700 plus crores rupees, and about 540 crores rupees on account of the ESPS, which is the discount which we give to the employees. The total amount of discount will be around 1,000 crores, and as per the accounting conventions, we have done it in phases. First quarter and second quarter together has, second and third quarter together has taken about 544 crores rupees. These are not going to continue. These are one-off events.
No, sir. Actually, I was asking, adjusted for all this, is our other expenses were 3,900 crore in this quarter, which is lower than what our usual run rate has been. So I'm asking this adjusted number of 3,900 crore, did this have some amount of savings because of lesser travel during the COVID period, or is this a new base for us?
No, actually, you see this particular quarter, the throughput is also lower at refinery side, and there is a small savings in respect of operating expenditure. The savings may not be repeated in the subsequent years because this year on account of travel and various low initiatives, the expenditure is low. The one-time expenditure this quarter is only ESPS around 440 crore. But otherwise, this may not be the new normal, a little bit lower expenditure this year, but it may not repeat in the subsequent years.
And my second question was on the personal cost. So 800 crore this quarter, what is the extent, right? For example, you mentioned about reducing manpower and future also, but what is the scope available in the sense that the same work can be done by, let's say, 5% more, lesser workforce, 10% lesser workforce? Can you give some indication there?
No, we are today the leanest organization in the oil space in the country. There is always scope for improvement, as also you must understand that we are expanding very rapidly. We have actually added about 1,500 outlets last year, 2,000 outlets will go up next this year. Our petchem is getting expanded. We on an average spend about 10,000 crores capex. So therefore, it is difficult to put a number as to how much number will come down on absolute terms. But if you see our track record of the last 10 years manpower reduction, it's an indication that we are very serious about manpower cost. So I will not be able to tell you how many more numbers will go away in this fashion, but ideally we are trying to reduce the manpower by not recruiting and replacing people who are retiring on a normal basis. But it is impossible for us to reduce manpower just for the sake of it. Our idea is to optimize manpower to ensure that whoever is available is the best available in the country.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Pinakin from JP Morgan. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you very much, sir. So my question is on the Mozambique LNG project. We saw LNG prices surge, and even though now while they are coming off, they still are at elevated levels. Now, sir, two questions related to Mozambique LNG. One is, sir, can you give us a sense of when is the first gas expected at this point of time? We have seen external consultants talk about 2026. Second is, sir, can you give us an update as to how BPCL has, tied up to its share of the Mozambique LNG? Has it kept it open to consume it internally, or has it entered into contracts to sell it down?
The Mozambique LNG project is expected to provide the first gas to the consumers in the second half of calendar year 2024. That is the announcement from the operator side, and Total is a very renowned operator. They are known to actually deliver on their promises. We have no reason to doubt their conviction and the confidence that the first gas will come out in the second half of the year 2024. Regarding our commitment, it's 1 million tons of gas per year coming from Mozambique, starting from the year 2026. We have already a 2 million base of customers, and we have certain commitments to the Qatar gas and also the Ras gas, apart from our commitment to go for spot gases to fill the demand. We are very confident of absorbing this gas, and our ambition in the gas in the next 5 years is to go up from 2 million tons to 5 million tons. So we find a huge opportunity for expanding the gas base in the country. And we are committed to ensure that we will capture the gas market as it increases in this country from 6% of the energy basket to 15% as per the government's desire.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Shabri Hazarika from MK Global. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, sir. I have two questions. The first one is relating to your CAPEX guidance for FY22, and there have been some reports that, in media reports, that certain projects like Polyol and all has been deferred or maybe cancelled. So any comment on that and the CAPEX guidance?
For the year 2021, we have actually enhanced our number from 8,000 to 9,000 crores. We have actually delivered 5,600 crores in spite of a suppressing number of only 900 crores in the first quarter. We are going to exceed 9,000 crores as we close year 2021. For 21-22, we have a target of 10,000 crores capex roughly, and we are not coming out of any of the commitments. We are actually conscious of the need to take a relook at our some of our expansion and plans, like, for example, MR had a residue upgradation project, so which we are now taking a look at it, because especially because of the disinvestment in the horizon. But all the approved projects by BPCL, we are seriously pursuing as it is.
Okay. And second question is on BORL and NRL Q3 GRM and profit.
BORL GRM is around $2, and NRL GRM is $37.
And profits?
Profit NRL is around 830 crores, and BORL is a loss of 210 crores.
For Q3?
For Q3.
Right. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of S. Ramesh from Nirmal Bank. Please go ahead.
Thank you and good morning. The first thought is now in your margins, we have seen that you are able to, increase your marketing margins, whether you take it in absolute numbers or per ton margins. And overall, if you see the total EBITDA coming to about $4 a barrel or $2,000 rupees a ton. So in terms of your own comments in the past that you are looking at it on an integrated basis, is there any scope in future to improve on this margin per unit or per ton, or would you depend on volume growth for your earnings growth, say, in fourth quarter specifically and going forward in FY22? That's the first question.
Yeah, our marketing margins has to be seen on a long-term basis. If you see the marketing margins of the last three quarters, our margins were higher in the first quarter, but it has moderated slightly to second quarter, and the marketing margin between second and third quarter remains almost at the same level. We are confident to sustain these levels of margins going forward.
Okay. So, in terms of the upstream business, now, you have mentioned that you have provided for the impairment in Bharat Petro Resources. So, what is the current network in Bharat Petro Resources in your consolidated balance sheet? And how do you see this moving, say, in the next couple of years?
We can take that question offline. You can, yeah, we'll answer that on get back.
Okay.
We'll get back on that.
So, just one last thought. Now, in terms of your petrochemical project, it's under implementation for your oxo alcohol project. So, what is the latest, timeline in terms of when you'll be able to get it commissioned and started?
Two of the units of PDPP is slated to be commissioned in March, and one unit will take some more time. It is essentially because of the licenses experts to come down to India to actually be part of this commissioning exercise. So we have been trying to do our level best to see how far it is possible to do a remote inspection and presence by the licenses representatives. So we are taking all the efforts possible to see how far we can take these units on stream. As of now, we are fairly confident of commissioning two of the three units by March of this year and the third unit by May.
Thank you very much, Dr. Lepard. I'll join the queue. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Reena Shah from Ashika Stockbroking. Please go ahead.
Hello? Can you hear me?
Yes, please.
Yeah. Thank you, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. Sir, my first question is on the jetty that you have commissioned in Mumbai refinery. They're saying that you are expected to save a lot of crude freight cost. So I just wanted to understand where you are targeting your defining the operating expenses going forward and how much this particular unit will add to the benefit.
Crude freight costs are not counted as part of the operating expenditure. It's all part of the crude cost. It is one of the elements of the landed cost of the crude oil. And the benefit which we are getting is that we will be able to use a fully loaded Suezmax for the purpose of transportation of crude oil into Mumbai, which is expected to have a huge benefit for MR's operations.
So can you just specify how much can it be like? Because ultimately I believe freight cost would be not related to the crude cost and it would be somewhere fixed. So just wanted to understand.
No,
how much it can improve your VRM?
Yeah, freight cost is not definitely not straightforward. The correlation is not there with the crude cost. Freight has its own logics of moving up and coming down, Baltic index based. So freight is again a matter of changing very, very, very drastically because it is also not a static thing. And we expect a substantial reduction. It can be about $1 to a barrel.
Okay.
What crude oil landed cost coming down in terms of transportation, roughly at the current level. It can change.
Okay. Thank you, sir. That helps. And another question is, how much crude and product inventory and at what cost do you have at the end of this third quarter?
Can you repeat that?
Crude and product inventory and crude cost
at the end of this particular quarter.
We had 1.89 million metric tons of crude. And product, we had around 3 million metric tons as at the end of December 2020.
Okay. And crude cost?
Crude cost average rate was $53 per barrel.
Okay. Okay. That helps. Thank you, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vidyadhar Ginde from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. Some of my questions have been answered. So one is on, if you could share your petrol and diesel volume growth in January.
January?
Yeah, Jan 21, how is it YOY petrol and diesel?
So the growth for MS is for January 21 versus January 20 is 6.83%, while for diesel it is a negative of 1.05%. And also I'd like to state that in petrol we are the highest among all the OMC peers.
This is for January, isn't it?
Yes.
And the second question was on what is your subsidy due from government as of December?
2,200 crores.
It's the current outstanding.
And what was it in March?
6,600 crores.
Okay. One last thing, I just want to confirm, in response to one of the earlier questions, you appear to have stated that though the marketing margins may not be very relatively low in the current quarter, you expect it to be next year and a full period like FY22. I think in one of the earlier calls you had stated 2 to 2.5 rupees. So is that what you said, that next year you expect marketing margins to be in line with that?
We have not stated any specific numbers of marketing margins. What we said was that marketing margin has to be seen on a long-term basis. And what we stated was that second quarter and third quarter of this financial year represents normalized marketing margins. And we also stated that this trend is expected to continue on a long-term basis.
Okay. Yes. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Varatharajan from Systematix. Please go ahead.
Thank you. So can you give us some breakups on the CAPEX, which division and what end use for current year and next year, and maybe if possible for the following year as well?
We have a plan of spending around 9,000 crores in the current year. So out of that, around 2,000 crores will be spending in refinery, around 800 crores in petchem. Then marketing, which includes RO expansions and depot expansions and renovations, is around 3,600 crores. And the other portion goes to our gas, BPR and equity investments and pipeline. For the next year, the plan is of 10,000 crores. And this is a broad breakup which we are giving. So refineries will be spending around 2,600 crores, petchem around again around 970 crores, and marketing would be around 3,200 crores.
Thanks, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Amit from UBS Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for taking my question, sir. Why there has been so much delay in deciding interested parties and opening up the books for due diligence? Because 17 November, I remember, was the last date for expression of interest. So what has holded up this kind of delay?
We really do not know.
Okay. And, what will be the process from here going forward? Like you mentioned that in the current financial year, we were looking to, complete this deal. But now I think it seems very clear that it will be pushed to next financial year. Like, how much sure we are that with these kind of delays on the government part or the transaction advisor part, that the deal would be completed in the next financial year, and what are the steps involved from there?
Now, this definition of NRL, we are trying to aggressively pursue and complete if possible by the end of this financial year, that is before 31st March of 2021.
Mm-hmm.
BPCL disinvestment, this DFM processes are to be fully complied with. It is driven by the Finance Ministry and Department of Investment and Public Asset Management. BPCL mm-hmm. only facilitating the completion of the formalities and opening the data room and providing clarification to investors' doubts and the clarification. Beyond that, our role is very limited. So it is not possible for us to answer your questions about when it is going to be completed. I also have read, like you, the budget speech in which Honorable Finance Minister has mentioned that this will be completed in the year 21-22.
Okay. And so just last question. This would require CCI and other approvals for the deal to be completed and money to be paid to the shareholders.
Which, the NRL or the BPCL?
Sir, BPCL.
BPCL deal will not require a CCI approval. Because it is two government companies are transacting this business. As far as I understand, it does not require a competition commission approval. It will require approvals at the government levels, and as far as we understand, that the government level at the top level is what is called an alternate mechanism, which consists of the Honorable Finance Minister, or Petroleum Minister, and Road and Transport Minister.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Thanks for your help.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mayank Maheshwari from Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the call, sir. Two questions from my end. The first was regarding the PDP project. You talked about two units starting up by March. So can you just talk to us about the entire process of ramping up this project and how you're kind of thinking up in terms of positive EBITDA contribution from this coming through now?
No, ramping up is envisaged. This is actually a capacity which is already designed, and we are confident of using this capacity's full potential. Our industrial and commercial section of our BPCL has already test marketed these products. These are import substitutes, and the prices fluctuate because, like in the case of petroleum products, and therefore it will be difficult for me to put a value into the EBITDA. We don't expect a huge benefit which is going to come in the year 2021 or even 2021-22 in terms of profit before tax. It's a long gestation project. Yeah.
Okay, sir, but the exports that you were doing of propylene, will that come down and that should help at least reduce the losses?
Propylene we are not exporting, and we have a production capacity of 500 TMT of propylene Cochin. Which is petrograde, and half of it will be consumed in the PDPP. Other half will continue to be sold as propylene in the western part of the country. And we have a project for the polyols, which was mentioned in one of the questions, which is going to take the other 250 TMT of propylene, which comes out of our FCCU in Cochin.
Got it. And so the second question was more related to the refining itself. I think your jet fuel sales are still obviously lower compared to the normal levels, while refinery utilization rates have ramped up. Can you just talk to us about your product slate now in terms of how much has that still getting converted to diesel or gasoline?
No, aviation fuel, basically because we are predominantly catering to the global markets, in the sense that international flights is our major customer base because of the Shell legacy. So about 60% of our customers are international flights, and as we know, international flights are not opened up yet. Domestic has almost reached about 80% of the pre-COVID levels. International flights are very, very few, and a lot of restrictions are there. That is the reason why our aviation turbine fuel sales have not picked up as much as it was in the case of MS or HSD. So we have a flexibility to use aviation fuel or convert that into diesel. Just recently, our subsidiary BORL has also completed the K8DS. So we are very worried about aviation fuel sales not happening because it is not going to affect our throughput at all. And our MSHSD production will not be impacted by the reduction in the sales volume of aviation fuel.
Got it. Very clear. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vipul Shah from Sumangal Investment. Please go ahead. Mr. Vipul Shah, may we request you to please go ahead with a question? Mr. Shah, may we request you to unmute yourself if muted from your handset? As there is no response, we'll move to the next question, which is from the line of Sumit Rohara from Matan Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Good morning. My company name is Matan Capital Private Limited. Just a couple of points, as an investor, I wanted to ask you. Sir, you mentioned that in Numaligarh, we hope to complete it by March. So, sir, can you give a broad sense of valuation? I mean, the kind of reports which the media talks about is about 7,000 crore. Is that, something which is correct? Secondly, sir, you mentioned that, you added about 1,500 outlets. So what's our total outlets currently? The other point, sir, I wanted to check with you is on the government bonds. So do we have any government bonds, and are those bonds going to be repaid, before the strategic stake sale, and, investors can expect a big dividend payout? Because, sir, the point I'm trying to highlight here is that, as an investor, the more clarity there is, the higher the valuation of BPCL, the government will realize, but one thing which, I'm noticing is that after 17th of November, when the expression of interest date has closed, there's been no official communication, so that kind of, it's keeping a very big cap on the share price of BPCL. I mean, just to highlight this to you, sir, the share price of BPCL was 480 when the Nifty was 10,000. Today, we are at 15,000, and the share price of BPCL, in spite of strategic sale, is at 425. So it's completely absurd, right? Because we know that the intrinsic value for Bharat Petroleum is well upward of the four-figure mark. So, sir, if there is clarity, on the various verticals, there can be huge value unlocking for all stakeholders, and frankly, the biggest beneficiary of this will be the government of India. So, sir, it's my humble request, if the more clarity we can give, the higher value the company will command, which in turn will, result in the government of India, maximizing its potential of revenue. So that's my request to you, sir. Thank you so much.
I agree with you. Thanks for the comments. And the easiest question to answer is number of retail outlets at the period end. As of December, we had 17,841 retail outlets. To your other questions, some of them were statements. We also feel, as management of BPCL, that the current share prices of BPCL do not reflect its true potential. It is based on various factors, because if you see, it is not BPCL alone. All the oil companies, and why oil companies, all the PSU space itself has not gone up the way other companies have gone up. So I do not know the share market, but we are very confident that the potential of BPCL is not fully reflected in the current share prices. That much I know. Then your lack of priority on the disinvestment process is a question that can be answered only by the government officials, because we don't handle the sale of BPCL. It is handled by the Government of India, by the Department of Public Investment Asset Management. For the NRL, I have already mentioned that it is our intention to complete this deal if possible, subject to government approvals coming in time by the 31st of March of this year.
So on the reaction of Numaligarh, can we assume that about?
Now we are in the process of engaged a transaction advisor and an asset valuer for the purpose of valuation of NRL. It's a growing concern, an operating company, and having a steady profit growth, and also they get a substantial amount of incentive in the form of excess duty concessions. So valuation will be done using the known methods of valuation like DCF, asset valuation, multiples, and such things. So it is too premature for me to comment on a valuation of NRL at this stage. It will be made known once the deal is completed. Wait for about another one and a half months.
Okay, sure, sir. And just one follow-up on the, on the strategic sale. So Mr. Tuhin Kante Pandey has basically categorically said that, on Sunday that he expects the process to be completed. I use the word completed by, by Q1 FY22. So essentially that means 30 June. So for that to happen, the data room window would have to be given for how much period? Would it be 60 days? Would it be 45 days? Or would it be 90 days? Just as a process to understand, because this is what he's, categorically stated. So my only point is that, the more clarity we get, the better it is for all stakeholders. That's the only point I'm driving at. And so just one feedback which I've shared with the company secretary as well, this process of giving dividend, in the period when, the settlement is on, because so many hedge funds, so many investors, come through the route of, the future segment. And, you know, after highlighting this also, you know, to the company secretary last week, you know, if this is ignored, then, sir, it's not a very good thing from an investor angle, right? That we share, you know, honest feedback to the company and it's completely ignored and not looked at. I mean, you know, it's not very professional for them to, you know, not look at our feedback. So it's my humble request to you to, you know, to please, you know, have a look at it. And in future, you know, such things, you know, will only
Sumit,
increase.
Sumit,
the
Sumit,
can I just
Sumit,
request you to respect
yes,
the question's time?
Yes,
because you are actually robbing
sure
the time of others.
Sure,
sorry
sure
to say this. And the second thing is that as far as Mr. Pandey's statements are concerned, I am not privy to that. I am not in a position to either contradict his statements or his confidence. We are ready with a data room today. It is for the DBOM to tell us when to open and how many days it should be kept open. There is a virtual data room available. How much time it takes to see all that we have is a matter of opinion of the potential bidders and a decision to be taken by DBOM. We are ready from today. We are ready from the last 2 weeks, as a matter of fact. So therefore, we are also eager and we are also equally supportive of our requirement of your suggestion that more clarity on this disinvestment can possibly increase the share price of BPCL. Now, about the dividend declaration is a board call. We don't play the market. It is not our intention to help or harm the interest of people who invest in BPCL shares about the timing of it. We have a consistent declaration of dividend policy. We are a very high dividend paying company. And if you have seen the DBOM guidelines, now the DBOM is expecting us to declare a dividend on completion of every quarter. So it is not a private information. It is available in the public domain. And it is our intention and it has been our consistent practice to declare high dividend. We have closed the accounts of this quarter ended 31st December with the highest profits in the quarter in the financial year, and we found it fit to be rewarding our investors who have been patiently waiting for this BPCL to perform consistently. We are interested in the long-term investors of BPCL. So we are actually committed with them, and we will continue to do that.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Pinakin from JP Morgan. Please go ahead.
Yes, I'm sorry. Just missed. What were the BORL GRM for the quarter, sir?
BORL GRM for the quarter is $2.14.
And NRL was $37, right?
Correct.
Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Saket Kapoor from Kapoor & Company. Please go ahead.
Dhanyavaad, sir, for the opportunity. So, firstly, about this Numbrigarh refinery disinvestment, sir, is it going to be a disinvestment type, or sir, we will see the interest from other PSUs also? If categorically, Engineers India have also highlighted, if I'm not wrong, about participating in the same. So, is it going to be a purely professionally bidding system, or it's an arrangement that is going to fructify going forward?
Okay, can I answer this? NRL disinvestment is actually based on the cabinet decision that before the BPCL stake is sold to a strategic investor, NRL should be divested, and government also has decided that the stake has to be offered to a government company in the oil sector. And the interest has come from Oil India. It is a consortium in which Oil India and Engineers India are partners. Engineers India and Oil India will jointly actually acquire the shares, accepting about 13.65%, which will go to Government of Assam because they have a right of first refusal. And they have evinced interest in acquiring this 13.65% to make it share to 26%. Now, it will be a professional valuation, I can assure you of that. And the valuation exercise is now undergoing. It is done by very reputed transaction advisors and asset valuers. And it will be an arm's length basis. There is no arrangement for this. This is a commercial transaction.
Okay. And what is the kind of valuation, sir, we can look? Have you discussed it in the con call? I missed the part there.
No, we will not be in a position to disclose a valuation because valuation is a matter of opinion from the sellers and buyers' perspective. It requires some more time to get the distance. Too premature to tell the valuation at this stage.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of S. Ramesh from Nirmal Bank. Please go ahead.
Yeah, I just had a follow-up question on your refining performance. So your distillate slate has improved, you see, YOY, but your margins are lower. And your high sulfur crude has come down. So yeah, can you explain why your margins are, is it only because of the spreads going down, or what exactly is happening on the refining side?
In this world today, there is no much difference between low sulfur, high sulfur. So it makes no sense to buy high sulfur because processing high sulfur requires more energy. Right. So therefore, it is better to reduce our dependence on very, very high sulfur because it doesn't make sense, because unless a Brent Dubai differential reaches to $2.50 or around that, we have the facility to use the heaviest of crude oils in Kochi refinery, but the timing of the pricing is not supporting that. Distillate yield is not going to make much of a difference in a scenario where our diesel cracks are less than $5 and MS cracks are around $3. So the best of the product, you only this cracks. So this is not a usually normal time. So we are expecting and believing that the cracks will improve to normal level as soon as it is happening. It will be actually reflected in our better GRMs.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Manikant Kare from Axis Capital. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir. Thank you for giving me the opportunity. Just a couple of questions. Can you please provide an update on the gas business in terms of how many CNG stations were added in Q3? And now specifically, if you can give the capex that we are spending towards the gas business in FY21 and 22. So that's the first question. And the second question is, post this Petchem project that we are targeted to complete at Kochi Refinery, just wanted to understand our 3 to 5 years perspective, if we have any target to, targeted crude to chemicals conversion ratio for the refineries, because, looks like all the other refiners in India, including your peers in OMCs, also are targeting some crude to chemicals conversion ratio.
You will take that gas file. I will answer the gas to crude to chemicals. We have no intention to go from crude to chemicals the way Reliance has announced, because we are predominantly a domestic player and we see a good potential for the liquid fuels to remain here in this country at least for the next 15 years. And though the growth rate may favorably taper, there is enough potential for us to make money out of diesel and petrol sales, and therefore it is not our intention to convert all the crude into chemicals. Let me make that very clear. And secondly, we also have plans ahead for increasing the in the basket petrochemical share from about less than 1% to almost about maybe 10% in the next 10 years. So that's the petchem side. Because petchem again is a product which has got fluctuating fortunes, because the prices vary widely. There's a risk inherent in this. And it has got environmental impact also, much more than what is caused by the petroleum products. So we are very, very conscious of the potential of petchem, but we are not hungry about converting all the food 100% into chemicals.
Yeah, and
the gas side, if you can. Okay, sorry, if you can supplement this, please. Yeah.
To answer the gas question, so as on 31st December, in 527 ROs, CNG facility was there. And about the capex in gas business, so our BGRL, which is 100% subsidiary, we have a total of 13 GAs. 4 GAs is in our book. So total capex of around 8,300 crores is planned over a period of 8 years.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vidyadhar Ginde from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. My question was on this PDP project. Can you give us some idea on what at current margins, at what kind of utilization level will you start making money?
No, we won't be able to give the answer to this at this stage. We can give an online and offline answer to you subsequently.
So basically, when you said 22, you don't expect much contribution. Is it got to do with the utilization?
It has nothing to do with the utilization. I'm saying that we are having a profit of about 8,000 crores on a consistent basis.
Mm-hmm.
On an 8,000 cost profit basis, any amount of PDPP in 2022 cannot make a significant impact. It is not a problem with the PDPP plan, the waste market. the sheer size of our profits are very huge. And BDPP is a very small segment in a whole BPCL ocean. So please don't be under the impression that BDPP is going to change the fortunes of BPCL. BPCL is a consistently performing company with a profit after tax of more than $1 billion a year. So on that number, BDPP profitability cannot add a significant impact, but it will improve the Kochi refinery's profitability in a significant way, especially because of the suppressing crack spreads which the refinery's business is experiencing.
Okay, thank you. My second question was on Numaligarh. Earlier you had been suggesting that you would like to have the Numaligarh deal also to happen parallelly along with our at the same time as the BPCL privatization. So why this change? Is it because of your own decision or is it because of government decision to finish it, trying to finish it before 31st March?
No, actually speaking, NRL deal ideally should have happened almost simultaneously. It is not possible to handle that simultaneously because government decision is to sell BPCL sans NRL. So NRL deal has to be completed, and then because the new owner is not expected to get anything out of NRL, right?
Sure.
So ideally, that deal should have been having a gap of maybe 1 or 2 or 3 months' time. But then since BPCL deal is, this is an indication that the BPCL deal is actually progressing. And that is one. And second is that we are also, as a BPCL, from our side, we can say that we are actually ensured that we have entered into a product offtake agreement with NRL. A deep state agreement is there for 15 years for us to take the products of NRL on a best endeavor basis for 3 million tons of production capacity. And BPCL will not be affected at all in terms of product availability in spite of the disinvestment of NRL happening. So we are sitting very pretty on NRL. And it is our desire to complete it sooner so that it can pave way for the government's decision to divert BPCL fast.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Siddhantan from Goodwill. Please go ahead.
Yeah, so you mentioned in one of the previous questions that you know, even you find the share price of the company quite low. So why not consider a buyback instead of so much dividend, where the government can also participate and get their share of revenue and investors can also be happy?
Yes, it's a good suggestion. I said because I am the director of finance of Bharat Petroleum, and therefore I feel personally that the share prices today does not reflect the potential of BPCL. It's an investor's call, and it is for the market to decide at the price at which BPCL shares should be traded. Now, to answer your specific suggestion as a buyback as a measure to increase the share prices, difficulty is that the government of India holds only 52.98% shares. If I buy back, the government shareholding will further come down. And we are anyway slated for disinvestment soon, and it will not be possible for us to change the capital structure at this stage.
Okay, okay. But that would be a much, because other PSUs have done a buyback recently, and it's worked very well for them, and when their shareholders are much happier.
It is true.
Okay. Please, thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, due to time constraints, that was the last question for today. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Harshvardhan Dole for closing comments.
Thank you. On behalf of IIFL Securities, I'd like to thank the management for giving us an opportunity to host the call. And I'd also like to thank all the participants for joining and asking active questions. Thank you very much. And over to you, sir, for any last comments.
We would like to thank IIFL Securities for organizing the conference. I would also like to thank all the investors and analysts for their active participation. Thank you. Thank you from management.
Thank you. On behalf of IIFL Capital Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your line.